Our reading today is from Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 to 40, and that's the whole chapter. And if you want to follow it in the overhead or in the Bible, it's in the chair, page 45. Genesis chapter 45 is entitled Pharaoh's Dreams. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. And then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing in a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy full years. And then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. And then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. The things turned out exactly as he had interpreted for us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one could interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile when out of the river there came 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the fat 7 fat cows, that came up first. But even after that they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. And then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 ears of corn, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears sprouted, withered, and thin, and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 good ears. I told this to the magicians, but none of could explain it to me. And then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless ears of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason a dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food for these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." May the Holy Spirit help us to understand the word we've read. Amen.
Right. Good. Hopefully there'll be some pictures popping up in a minute. So, we've been spending a few weeks looking at the story of Joseph from Genesis. Good idea if I got the right notes. That was last week's. We are still continuing the story of Joseph from Genesis, as from last week. Somebody said, and I have to be a bit careful what I say this morning because my brother is in the congregation, it's sometimes been said by some people, you can choose your friends but can't choose your family. So I was a bit careful. When I put that bit, I'd forgotten that there were going to be family members present in that, but I don't mean it, of course. I love them all. But seriously, it's been said by some people. And Joseph comes from a challenging family. As I think you thought when David Simkin was here a couple of weeks ago, from a challenging family. Jacob, his dad, had two marriages and two other women, I was going to say on the side. I don't know if that's quite the way to put it, but there were four mothers involved in that family of 12 boys. Joseph is Jacob's favourite son. Benjamin comes a pretty close second because they were both born to Jacob's favourite wife. And he didn't treat his children the same. I don't know about you, but as I grew up, I think we always like to think we treat our children exactly the same, but I guess in some ways we often don't. But it's not helpful, is it, as a family to have a favourite? I'm sure that must be a challenge for Trevor with your four boys. When they behave themselves, you know, maybe it varies from day to day which one's the favourite. No comment on that one. Probably very wise, very wise. Anyway, I don't know whether the small groups talked about Joseph in the week. One of the questions I put for the small group studies that you had today was Joseph a little bit arrogant with his brothers? When he was telling them about his dreams, about the sheaves of corn bowing down and the sun and moon bowing down to him, was Joseph a little bit of an arrogant young man? Did you come to any conclusion on Thursday, Simon, about that? Or didn't you talk about it? You probably did think he was a little bit arrogant. Okay, but he listened to God. He heard God. And so there was a bit of family tension. This whole business of having favourites and the other sons rather resenting that because Joseph was the youngest. And he had, of course, this famous, fabulous coat, which the modern interpretation is on the screen there. He had this fabulous coat, which basically symbolized the fact that he was the favorite son. And the other brothers resented him. But in this family, Joseph did learn to honor and trust God. I don't know about the other brothers. I think they did, but perhaps not with such... We don't know much about the other brothers until we'll find out a bit more when we come to next week and find out how they become reunited. But you see, Joseph was clearly a man who wanted to honour God. I get the impression that when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, you'll know that part of the story, I'm sure, where he's put in a pit and Reuben comes back expecting to find Joseph there so that he can rescue him, and he's not there because he's been sold off to the Egyptian traders that were going by. In all that time, Joseph chose to honour God. I wonder what you would have done. in those circumstances. If you'd have found yourself sold into slavery by people you didn't want, working in a place where you didn't want to be, how would you have felt? A bit resentful? A bit angry? Maybe, you know, when you're working in Pharaoh's kitchen, oh no, I seem to have dropped that really expensive pot. That was an accident. And a few other, you know, a few other problems you might have come across. But no, Joseph was faithful to God. But faithfulness to God for Joseph didn't always mean that everything went well. Because you'll know the story. We talked a little bit about it last week. Potiphar's wife trying to get, well, trying to get him into bed. Let's put it not very crudely. That was what she was trying to do. I don't know whether Potiphar wasn't coming up with the goods in some way or other. But anyway, whatever it was, she thought Joseph was a young man she fancied. And she saw him around the house. And anyway, Joseph was honorable. Joseph could have got his own back on his master, but he chose not to. He chose to behave in a godly way. And then, of course, there was the story of the butler and the baker that we talked about a little bit last week, and Joseph interpreting their dreams. And there's a very sad verse at the end of the chapter of the story. It says, the butler went back into the palace and he completely forgot about Joseph. It just completely went out of his mind. He was so pleased to be back in his position when he saw the poor baker with no head. Must have been not a very nice situation, that one. The baker lost out and the butler was back and he completely forgot about Joseph. But the thing is, I noticed about Joseph, throughout all of this, in every circumstance, he honours God and he behaves in the correct way. So he must have picked up something from his dad, mustn't he? In spite of the issues and in spite of the problems, Dad must have taught him well about what God meant in his life. And I guess that's a bit of an encouragement for us, isn't it? Sometimes as Christian parents, we think about our children maybe drifting away and maybe not having that commitment to God that we had and we would long for them to have. But sometimes as the years go by, they begin to drift back and they come back to it. Joseph, in spite of the troubles in the family, in spite of the difficulties with his brothers and the tension there must have been between the four mothers around the house, it must have been a really difficult household to be in. But Joseph learnt to trust God. And the first thing we see about Joseph, thank you, was that he was waiting on God. He was waiting on God. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait upon or trust in the Lord will find new strength. As I said, at the end of chapter 40, there's that rather sad verse. The head cupbearer never gave Joseph another thought. He forgot all about him. Joseph must have been full of expectation. He's interpreted two dreams. And he's probably feeling God is moving in this place. God is active in this place. I'm going to be released from this prison now. God is going to move. And he says, has a quiet word with the cupbearer and says, please remember me. And he thinks this is the way God's going to work. But time goes by. Do you know how much time went by at the beginning of that chapter? 2 years went by and nothing happened. In those 2 years, the cupbearer completely forgot about Joseph. And Joseph found himself remaining in the house of the captain of the guard, effectively in prison, in his prison cell. With all that expect, David, you were talking about hopes earlier, weren't you? Joseph must have been out of hope. 2 years of hope, 2 years, it must have been a bit frustrating at the end of the first year and then the end of the second year. What is happening? Where is God? Why is God not moving in my life? He must have been feeling that way, but he continued to be faithful. He continued to honor God in his behavior in the prison. He hasn't completely abandoned hope. You know, I've been reading recently, I think I mentioned it before, I've been reading in the book of Job. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job, but Job is a book about someone who suffers. And Job has some incredible things to say to God and to his friends. I tell you what, they really must have been an interesting situation to see those three guys sat around Job as he sat on a heap of rubbish, scraping the soil. And not a very nice thing, go around to visit your friend and he's sitting there with a big piece of pottery scraping the sores off his arms as you talk. Yes, not very good, is it? Simon's definitely frowning there on that idea. And Joseph said a lot of things to his friends and a lot of things to God about what was happening. He said, God's just abandoned me. I haven't done anything wrong. God's abandoned me. Joseph must have felt something like that. He must have done over those 2 years, but he doesn't seem, we don't read that he complains. We don't read anything about it. We just read that he continued to be faithful. And he continued to do a good job in the prison. He continued to honor God. You see, in all this time, in spite of everything, God is at work in his life. In spite of the chaos that's going on in his life, God is at work. Joseph must have wondered sometimes, where is God in all this? What's going on? Something was happening. God was at work. Some of you know that this week I went to a conference for chaplains in the police. And one of the guys there was a gentleman called John Sutherland, who was a Christian police officer. John Sutherland did nearly 25 years as a police officer. And at the end of that time, he became, I think it was a chief superintendent in charge of a borough in London. A very responsible job, a job that he absolutely loved and enjoyed. But over a course of a couple of weeks, at one point in his life, John Sutherland had a complete breakdown, complete mental breakdown, complete collapse. He's written a book, by the way. It's called Blue, and I just bought it at home to read. John Sutherland completely broke down. And he said this in the talk that he gave us. He said, "My religion failed me, but my faith remained." Somehow, through all the collapse and the time that he spent, he managed to hang on to his faith. And that was because people came alongside him. Friends were there, his wife was there, others were there. And he said this, I thought this was a really excellent quote that he said. He said, "They didn't try to fix me. They just walked alongside." And it's a great story about how mental breakdown occurred and the pressure occurred. And no one judged him, they just walked with him. Well, Joseph might have gone the same way. But Joseph hung on. I don't know who encouraged him. I guess it must have been the captain of the guard was pretty impressed with him and he looked after him. So there must have been some encouragement there. But Joseph was encouraged. And Joseph decided that God has not abandoned him and God is not inactive. In fact, do you know something? I think that during this time in prison, God was preparing Joseph for something in the future. Because God knew what was coming up. God knew the possibilities and the potentials that were ahead of him. And Joseph was going through this as part of his preparation. I often think when I think of the story of Moses at the burning bush, Moses had been far away from Egypt. He'd run away and he was in a foreign land for a number of years. God was working in his life and preparing him and teaching him ready for the job that he had for him. And sometimes, you know, when we go through tough circumstances and difficult circumstances, that's God working in our lives for something in the future, preparing us, helping us to understand. There's a verse somewhere in Corinthians that talks about when we go through difficult times, God prepares us and enables us to help others who are going through similar circumstances. So if you were in the situation that Joseph was in, where nothing seems to be happening for a long period of time, how would you look on it? Well, I think Joseph began to see that God was actually training him. There was a future for him. And he hung on to hope, as David said this morning, throughout those 2 years in prison. But 2 years have passed. Thank you for the next one. And something begins to happen in the prison and in the palace around. God is on the move. God is active. God is beginning to do something. 2 years have gone by, and the promise in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30 might have been in some people's minds. "I honor those," says God, "who honor me." Joseph has hung on to hope. He's continued to live righteously. But meanwhile, in the palace, the Pharaoh is dreaming. What a weird dream. What a strange dream. 7 fat cows coming up. Did they come out of the river? I seem to remember. 7 fat cows coming up. And then 7 thin cows eating up the 7 fat cows. But, of course, the thing was, the thin cows were still thin cows. No change. And Pharaoh woke up thinking, what on earth is going on? Must have been like Sue woke up when Harry Seacombe was singing. She must have thought, what is going on? What's it all about? And then he eventually managed to fall back to sleep. And as he thought, this happens, doesn't it? Sometimes it's happened to you. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of a dream and you fall asleep and another one comes. And then he had another dream and he thinks, what is going on? Somebody is trying to tell me something here. And suddenly the cupbearer, when Pharaoh begins to talk about his dreams, the cupbearer says, oh, I've forgotten all about Joseph. I'm so sorry, he says to Pharaoh. I'd forgotten all about, but there is a man in the prison downstairs who can interpret dreams. Joseph is called for. I like that little bit of the story. It says Joseph got himself together. He had a shave. Now I think of, if you think of pictures of Egyptians, Egyptians never have beards, do they, in those days? So maybe he was looking a bit scruffy down there in the prison. And he got and had a shave and he cleaned himself up, and I expect they brought him some Egyptian style robes to put on. And he comes up and Pharaoh says to him, this is what's happened. And Joseph says, you know, I can't interpret your dream, but I know someone who can. You see, Joseph was ready when God called him. Throughout this time, I believe he's been waiting on God, waiting and expecting God to act. Even through that 2 years, he's just been waiting on God. I'm sure Joseph, we don't read it particularly, but I'm sure he was a man of prayer. Daniel certainly was, wasn't he? Nearly ended him up in the fiery, ended him up in a lion's den, didn't it? Too much praying. But Joseph too was a prayer, I'm absolutely certain of that. He was waiting on God, but he's also living faithfully. He's doing the same thing. While he's praying, he's living according to God's way. And when the time comes, he's ready. He's ready to act when God calls. You see, our calling in the world is to be faithful to God. It's to continue to go, whatever's going on, to continue to honor God, to obey God, to allow God to work in us and prepare us. Even when times are difficult, God is at work. You know, sometimes, like Job, you say, where is God? He seems to have gone out of my life. And God whispers quietly, I'm right here. In fact, sometimes almost he's so close we miss him. And he's actively working. Maybe it was a little bit like that for Joseph, but he hung on to hope and he hung on to faith. And when the time came, he was ready. And maybe he recognized that it was God calling him, beginning to work in his life. Now, I love this bit of the story. It's really great because not only does he interpret the dream, but then when he comes to the end of the dream, he says, now, Pharaoh, I've got an idea. May I posit this idea to you? You should maybe choose a responsible man, someone that could lead the people and someone could sort this out and administrate this. That's why I put his CV up there. I don't know whether he sort of came to Pharaoh and said, I've got this CV prepared. I've been preparing this while I've been down in the prison. And I think I just might be the man. I don't know whether he was quite that pushy, but he said, there might be a man somewhere, Pharaoh, that you could use. And Pharaoh says to his magicians, I wonder where there's a man. I wonder about Joseph. You see, Joseph was ready to do what God had called him to do, ready to recognize that the time had come. After those 2 years of wondering, 2 years of worry, 2 years of fear, all the emotions he must have gone through, throughout that time he was ready. And I asked myself, am I ready when God says, now's the time for you to do what I've called you to do? Over my life, I've discovered sometimes that I have plans for my life. A long, long time ago, I remember being on the train coming down to Eastleigh to spend some time with, I might have been going to camp actually, but I have a feeling I was coming to Grandma's to spend some time, and I was reading in what was then the Living Bible, it had just come out, and I was reading Proverbs, and there's a verse there that in the Living Bible in Proverbs says, a man may make his plans, but is the Lord convinced? And you know, sometimes it's interesting, isn't it, that God is working in our lives and we don't recognize it. And we want things to happen, we want something to happen, and it doesn't seem to be happening. And then one day it happens. One day God comes along and says, now we've reached the time. This is what I want you to do. I guess it was a little bit like that when we moved to Southampton. And Sean Sweeney came to me and said, I don't want you in my church, I want you to go down to Swathling, I want to get rid of you. I don't think he quite put it that way, but I want you to move on. The opportunity was there. Joseph was ready when God called. So the thing I noticed about Joseph's life was he waited on God and he honored God. And as he waited on God and honored God, when the time came to serve God, he was ready. He was prepared. He'd used that time valuably. So I just encourage you not to waste your time, especially if you're a bit younger. Although God changes things in our lives even when we get old, doesn't he? I won't aim that at anybody in particular, but as the years go by, God still changes and still works in our lives. It's never too late to be, as the final point this morning is, used by God. Joseph's waiting has, move on one. Joseph's waiting has finally happened. Joseph's learning time has paid off. And the question is for me, and for each of us, what is God doing in your life now that he's preparing you for? Some of the experiences that you've been through, how is God going to use those experiences in your life? And we're encouraged throughout the Bible to look for opportunities to serve God. Look for opportunities to act as God calls us and God prepares us. Our calling, as we've said, is to remain, to honor God, to obey God, to be obedient to him. Wait on him, listen to him, pray and honor him until the time comes and God says, this is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. I'm saddened sometimes when I find people who say to me, I've never discovered what it really was that God wanted me to do. That's kind of sad. Sometimes it is a waiting time. But Joseph discovered it. When in the time came, when God called, he was ready. Ready, possibly with his CV to Pharaoh, and he finds himself in that position. So finally, our conclusion today. What did Joseph do throughout this time? One last one there should be, I think. Yeah. He continued to follow God. Through every circumstance, through every difficulty, he continued to honor God. It seems he never wavered in that. Whatever happened, when it happened in Potiphar's house and he found himself in prison, each of those times when he'd been sold by his brothers and betrayed by his brothers, all of those times he continues to honor God. And the question for me is, will I continue to honor God even when difficult times arise? Am I ready to serve God and ready to be used when the time comes and the opportunity comes? Meanwhile, back at home, the brothers are in turmoil. If I'm here next week, but certainly you will find out next week from Paul, whether or not reconciliation in the family is possible. Joseph is in a position of honor. Joseph is serving God in Egypt. I don't think he's forgotten about his brothers, has he? Let's find out next week. But for this week, we remember that we're called simply to live and to honor God, to wait on God, to listen to him until God says, this is the place I want you. This is how I want you to serve me. And sometimes it's a complete surprise. I wonder if Joseph ever expected he would be second in command in Egypt. I think he wanted to be restored to a position, but I don't think he ever expected to be quite that position. But God's amazing. God does surprising things for Joseph and for others. Let's sing a song before we share together in communion.